Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, here to the Travis Turner Show. We thank you so much for being with us here on 1340 WNBS, our show streaming live at 1340WNBS.com. We're moving high speed thanks to our friends at Time Warner Cable, getting ready to visit with our friend Tim Stark from the Murray Bank. We'll be talking youth soccer signups and a little more with Tim here this morning. But before we get there, we do want to say thank you to our friends at Thurmond Insurance. Glad to have Tim and his great staff on board with us. And we hope you stop by and see them for any of your insurance needs. 1550 Lowe's Drive is their address here in Murray. 270-873-4470 is the phone number. Thurmond Insurance, ready to match your needs to your insurance needs. They provide service with personal attention and dedication. Theirs is a multi-award-winning agency providing annual reviews of your insurance coverage. Tim and his dedicated staff ready to get the job done for you. They are an agency with integrity, treating their clients with honesty and trust. That's Thurmond Insurance, 1550 Lowe's Drive here in Murray, 270-873-4470. We do now welcome in our friend Tim Stark, the marketing director at the Murray Bank. And we'll talk a little bit about the bank and what's going on. By the way, the Murray Bank Crosstown Classic, the annual football battle between Murray and Callaway County. We'll be talking about that very, very soon. August 26th, the kickoff from Murray State's Roy Stewart Stadium. But soccer is about to get kicked off here in Murray and Callaway County, and Tim has been our contact man to talk about that organization and what continues to be a very vibrant soccer community. And he and I were just reflecting on how quickly the summer is going by. Of course, the calendar will call it summer for quite some time, but for our kids, school beckons soon, and when it does, that typically means our soccer is about ready to start again. And Mr. Stark, it's great as always to have you back with us, and the wheel just keeps turning, doesn't it?
Yes, sir, and I'd like to start by saying thank you for having me on. I know as a Louisville fan, I don't always get invited back many places, so you always invite me back, so it is very encouraging and uplifting to be able to have a spot here on the show.
Well, we know our Cardinal fans are out there, man. You shouldn't have to hide in the shadows, loud and proud. Oh, that's a beautiful blue shirt you have on today.
Every once in a while, I put on the Columbia blue. So, but yes, thank you for having us back on. But yeah, it just seems like we played our last game a few weeks ago as far as soccer goes, and we had about 500 kids playing with us in the spring. So it is just a growing phenomenon here in Murray and Callaway County.
Tim, before we get to the particulars on the information, I know you guys down at your soccer home, Bee Creek, had to deal with a little excess water recently.
Yeah, the complex flooded a few weeks ago, and you think and you look around Murray and Callaway County and you go, well, you know, the damage is around. And if you go down to Bee Creek, there were goals that never move that were on the other end of the complex. Benches that kids normally sit on that we can usually find after a good rain, we can't find them. So we don't know where they went. And so, yeah, and the parking lot's a little bit messed up right now. A little bit of asphalt got shifted around with the water that was flowing through there. So the Soccer Association's been down there, and of course, the park's doing a great job of assessing the damage and what we're going to do to fix it. So we appreciate Lindsay and all the people there.
Well, and the good thing is, from a time frame, you've got some time to get everything back.
Yeah,
and
the goals, you know, they're obviously back in place. And we've made some improvements over the last couple of years where we've tried to go away from the wooden benches, and we've put some aluminum benches out there and put them in concrete, so those didn't move.
Right.
So we're hoping to probably get a few more of them around the facility to help the kids have something to sit on that's a little bit more permanent.
As we get started, I'll just let you get to the pertinent information as you guys get ready to sign folks up.
Sure, and this is the information that hopefully everyone is listening to and can jot this stuff down. You can sign up online anytime. If you'll go to our website, www.bcreek.org, that's .org, you can sign up there anytime. There's a link to where you go to online signups, and those are currently underway and will run through August 1st. We have two in-person signups, like always, July 23rd and July 30th. The only change, and we made this change a year ago, is that we're no longer at the Chamber, and a lot of people still try to go to the Chamber because that's where signups were forever. But we moved over to the American Legion Hall, a little bit bigger facility, a little bit more parking, a little easier for us to kind of set up and operate inside. When we were at the Chamber, they have so many awards at the Chamber hanging up on the walls and on the tables that, like any good kid, they were wanting to play with them and touch them. So we just moved away from that facility, moved over to the American Legion Hall. So that's July 23rd and July 30th. Those are both Saturdays. They're from 10 to 2. There will be in-person signups there. August 1st, is the last day for signups. Anytime after August 1st, we will run signups for another week after August 1st, but there will be a late fee associated with that. We try to end signups as early as we can so that we can get coaches, so that we can get teams formed, so that we can get schedules made. So we end them on July 30th. We'll run it for another week after that. So if you're late, there's a $10 late fee associated with that. And then season starts on August 27th, the first game is played that week, so you should get a call from your coach before then. But it's just right upon us again.
Absolutely it is. I mean, we're talking, you know,
less than a month, almost
5 weeks.
Yeah, about 5 weeks away.
In terms of the age ranges you guys offer, what are we talking about there?
And this is something new this year with age range. The ages are still the same. We offer Pee-wee through U12 plus, but the Kentucky Youth Soccer Association, and not just us, but nationwide, USA Soccer, has gone to a birth chart year as far as age. You know, used to we would go from June to June years. Well, now it's all birth years. So if you were born in 2012, you will play with kids that were born in 2012. So if you were born January 1st, 2012, you could play with a kid that was born December 31st, 2012, whereas in years past it went June to July age years. So we go Pee-wee through U12. Pee-wee would be anyone born in 2011, 2012, I'm sorry. And then U5 and up, we go age ranges from U5 and up. So that's 2012 through 2006 or so would be U5 through U12. So we offer different age ranges, and it's going to be a little confusing. This is the first year we've had to go by those rules. So when you come to signups that day, we'll be able to help you put your kid where they belong. And tell you where they'll be playing. Prices are very competitive. I mean, we're a lot cheaper than almost every other organized sport in Callaway County. If you're Pee Wee, you pay $40, and then it's $5. It's a $5 increment on the way up. So U5 is $45, U6 is $50, then we go up to U8, which is $55, and then U10 $60. So
this is not your rule. Obviously, you guys are living with it. Based on your experience with youth soccer, will this be a significant change, a good change, a bad change? Can you get a read on it yet?
Still yet to be determined on that. The only bad thing that we can see about it is, as far as school goes, you're based on a year that goes, you know, September through I think the cutoff day is usually in September. So the kids you're playing youth soccer with, or even, you know, if your child is good enough to play, you know, select soccer, they'll be playing at a calendar year, like an age, you know, 2012 or whatever, compared to being able to play with kids that they might be playing with in the
right
school system. So, you know, in years past, you know, you look at Callaway or Murray and some of those kids that have been playing select soccer going up through the years, you know, then they go to their freshman year and they're playing with those same kids on the high school team. Whereas that may not be the case, you know, going by calendar year. So it's going to be one of those things that, you know, you play the hand you're dealt. They've changed some other things as far as field sizes go, goal sizes. So we've made those changes down there too. The fields are going to get a little bit smaller. Goals are going to get a little bit bigger. They've changed some of the age requirements are on different age groups, how many kids are on the field. So there may be a few more kids on the field as far as like U8 and above. So it's going to be a learning curve for the first year. But we've been as far as actively making the changes. We started a year ago talking about it when they told us when they were going to make the
right
change. So we started almost a year and a half ago talking about making the changes. So we've been as progressive as we can be as a board and as an association, making those changes and trying to make sure that the changes aren't going to affect us. You know, we want to be as active as we can.
Smaller field, bigger goal. You like it?
Yeah, it's all right. You know, the thing that I think is going to improve anything is when we would, and my son made the travel team last year, and I was fortunate enough to coach it. So when we would go to different tournaments, there wasn't a quote-unquote rule. I mean, some tournaments had a goal that was one size. Some tournaments had a goal that was another size. Some fields were a little bigger. Some fields were a little smaller, depending on where you went to play. And so now everyone is going to be on the same field, the same goal size. So It's going to be, at least from a competitive standpoint, you'll know what you're going into.
You have that uniformity.
Yeah, there was nothing more frustrating than when we would get to a tournament and some of our shots would sail over the goal because the goal was smaller. And, you know, we'd have to teach our kids or tell our kids either during halftime or during warmups, look at the size of the goal. You know, one of our strong kids, you're going to have to take a little bit off your shot so it doesn't sail over. So we were having to adjust on the fly, which is going to be a definite change for the best. So.
Volunteers, coaches, always a need.
We can always use volunteers, and I say that every year, is that, when you sign your child up, we're going to ask you when you sign that piece of paper, would you like to coach? And the normal response 10 out of 10 times is no. No, we don't want to coach. But we encourage you to get involved, get out and get active with your child, and not only with your child, but with the other kids on the team. We can train you, we can help you, we can provide drills, we can provide assistance during the first couple practices if you need it. We're not talking about rocket science. Some of this stuff, as far as the early levels of soccer, where we really need the coaches, where we're having 10 and 12 teams of six kids and having two and three people volunteer to coach those 10 and 12 teams, especially in that Pee-wee U5, U6 range, you don't have to know a lot about soccer to get out there and coach. If you can provide a snack, especially at Pee-wee, if you can provide a snack at the end of practice, you've done your job as a coach, I promise you. But if you can teach them, don't touch the ball with your hands, let's try to stay inside the white lines. And then, as it progresses, hopefully, if you want to continue coaching, you'll do what I did, and that's learn the game. I think I've told the story before. When my son was three, he started playing peewee soccer, and I knew not to touch the ball with your hands, and I knew that you probably needed to stay inside the boundaries because those are common sense rules. But I learned as the game went on, and as he continued to want to play, I continued to want to learn more. And I've coached him ever since. And this will be the first year he made he's still playing here in Murray, but he made a team that's a little bit more advanced here. So he'll have a different coach this year. So it'll be, as far as a parent, it'll be the first time someone's ever coached my son that's not Tim Stark. But that's good. I continued to learn. So now I'll be able to focus on my daughter, who's still playing rec soccer. She'll be six, and so she'll be playing in that U8 league. But we can always use coaches, and like I said, we can help you. Your wife was a coach. I think she said, I don't know anything about soccer either, but we needed coaches, so she volunteered, learned the game. I think she actually likes it, kind of, maybe.
I think she does.
Yeah.
She don't want people to know that, but she does.
Well, I didn't say it on the – it's a good thing I didn't say it on air or anything then. But it's so much fun once you get involved out there, and the kids are having fun, especially at the rec level. They're not out there – it is we don't ever want to say it's not competitive soccer, because they are out there playing a game at the rec level, but they're learning. It's a learning field. They're not out there, trying to run up scores or trying to hurt people. It's about learning and having fun.
Well, and you when you watch the younger levels especially, and that's where our youngest has been the last couple of years, I mean, so much of this is about, social interaction and beginning to learn how to compete and work with somebody else and get a little adversity thrown your way for the first time in life, maybe. And one thing that I notice that seems to be true, you'll be able to tell us much better, obviously, but in a world where there's so many different things to do and kids are naturally going to – they're going to pick up this and maybe they drop that, but the retention rate seems to be very high.
It does. Once you can get them involved, and especially – you're absolutely right. I saw the same kids playing with Zach, my son, when he started at three, when he went to four, when he was five, when he was six. Even now, he's moved to competitive soccer or to the select soccer. But the same kids that were playing rec soccer back then are still continuing to progress, which is something we love to see out there, is that they're learning, they're enjoying the game still. And we want to have a place for those kids. And, our U12 and above division has – of course, that's when they go into middle school soccer and some – that's usually when life becomes more complicated.
Right.
But we would love to see our older soccer program continue to grow. Right now, last year we had five or six U10 teams of 10 kids apiece, which is something we hadn't had in a while. So it's been a great progression to watch these kids and even the ones that don't make the select program to continue to play rec soccer and to learn the game and have fun and just keep them active.
Well, and I'll tell you, that's one thing, and I've talked to some folks as it relates to baseball in this way. You hope that your infrastructure, your grassroots program will eventually – feed kids in to your high school programs and you'll see great things happen. And I think you look at soccer in this community, we had the ladies regional champion at Murray, we had the boys regional champion at Callaway. And that's amazing. That's, you know, that's a fantastic thing. And so many of these kids grew up first playing rec soccer here, then playing select. So their, you know, their roots grew down here. But we also need to remember, and again, this is what I tell the baseball folks, yes, if recreational baseball in this community yields great players at the high school level, that's awesome. But it doesn't have to.
Right.
What its base and what its mission should always be is to give these kids a great chance to play.
Yes.
And that's what you got. That's your bottom line right there.
Right. And you know, you mentioned the two teams, and I don't know the ladies team at Murray that well. But if you look at that Callaway team, and we were very fortunate to yield players from the Soccer Association out at Bee Creek. Those boys have been playing. You look at the freshmen and sophomores on last year's team. They've been playing travel soccer together since they were five, you know, or six. So they started very young playing together, and it pays off when you get to that upper level. But the number one thing that we always want to do is to make sure that there are people out there and they're having a good time, they're having fun, they're learning the game of soccer, and if it happens to, like you said, if it happens to advance on to the high school level, that's great. If it doesn't, that's great too.
Yeah, that's one thing I would always want. It doesn't have to bear fruit at this high level to be worthwhile. If a seven-year-old's having fun playing with his friends or her friends, hey, good enough.
And if you ever come out there on a Saturday, you may hear people crying, but it's more of the, oh, I don't want to go out there crying. You know, it's the scared to get out on the field. It's not scared of being beat or anything like that. But it's the I had a little girl the first year I coached, and she would not come out on the field. Mom and dad would try to bring her out there. Mom even tried to play a game with her one time. She would not come out there. And that happens sometimes, but more than likely you're going to see kids smiling, having fun, interacting with their friends, shaking hands after the game, and then going and get their snack and going home.
Yep.
So
I'll tell you, last night I was listening to my two boys, and my youngest is quite the character, and he's his own guy. He kind of picks out things that the rest of us, you know, don't do. He does his own thing, and so he's very much proud of the fact that he's a soccer player. And so his older brother, he's playing, Cadwell's playing ESPN's Streak for the Cash game on his phone, and so he's picking SB winners and who's going to have the lowest front nine score at the British Open the next day, and he's doing these things. So Cade's asking him, you know, what's this? He's trying to understand what's this game about, because he wants to get in and have some action. And he says, does it have categories? And Cadwell says, yeah, it has categories. He said, is soccer a category? Cadwell says, yeah, there's soccer matches on here. And he says, well, I'm gonna pick the soccer matches. He says, I'm a soccer player, so I'll be really good at that. So, you know, he's already got that as part of his identity a couple of years into what he's doing.
Sure, and I'm sure he's probably watched Team USA play some of the Copa Cup. I mean, we had every game on at our house. And if you'd asked me when Emily and I got married almost 12 years ago, if we'd have been watching soccer, I would have said absolutely not, no part of it,
not
don't want to see it. Yeah, if it's not basketball or baseball, I don't want any part of it. And now if it's not Copa USA or, you know, we're looking forward to the Olympics and watching both the men's and women's teams play. So it's bred into us now.
Yeah, well, I think the revolution is over. Soccer won.
I believe so.
A lot of people don't want to admit that if they're my age or older, but it's too late. It's already happened, because that's the thing. For generations of families now, from your age down, it's part of the fabric just like anything else was. And I've warned people. I said, you have to understand the NFL and the NBA, they didn't used to be what they are now. I said, you know, soccer's time has come and will continue to, because now it is a game like baseball and basketball and football. Mom and dad are going to pass it down.
Sure, and I think years ago, if USA would have got embarrassed by Argentina like they did at the Copa, people would have been expected it. People were upset.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, Klinsmann's on the hot seat every day now.
Yeah, I mean, people are upset about that now. So it's interesting to me to watch that, and especially at – I'm telling you, 12 years ago, if my wife – well, Emily liked soccer, but if you would have sat down and said, Tim, you'll be a soccer family here in about 7 years, I'd have said, my family? No, I don't think
so.
Not going to happen at my house, but sure enough, it has, and I'm happy it has. It's been a very, very good thing for us.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have found as parents, whatever your kids are passionate about,
absolutely,
that becomes priority, and your kids love it, and so many do, and so it's a great thing that we have – this vibrant community here in Murray and Callaway County. Before Tim gets out, we'll go back over some of those important dates and that information. But we're gonna have Tim back with us as often as schedule allows going forward. We want to have a platform for our friends at the Murray Bank to talk about the great things they're doing there. But this is a guy that's a passionate fan of all kinds of sports. And before I let him get away today, since my man Brad Burns got him riled up yesterday.
Man, that's sacrilegious.
You don't want a fire sale in St. Louis, do you?
Man, we can't have a fire sale. We compete in St. Louis. We're not like other teams in the league that sell off things and hope for next year. We plan for this year.
Let me ask you then, for the second half to make a push for the playoff, what do you want for your Birds?
Well, you know, and this is where it gets confusing, is that I don't think we've hit a stride yet. You know, we play well and then we play bad. We play well and we play bad. We've got to be buyers at some point. I'd love to see us pick up a good, solid, go out, run you down starting pitcher of some sort. I'm still mad we didn't get in the David Price sweepstakes. I know a lot of people don't like him, but I wish we would have got heavier into that sweepstakes. But I think we need a solid starter. It doesn't have to be an ace. I think that Wainwright has corrected whatever was wrong with him at the start of the season. I think we've seen that. Waka. Leak pitches all right sometimes. But I think we need that solid 2-3 guy somewhere in there.
You want to see Reyes up?
Well, yes. Well, y'all were talking about yesterday. I mean, he's got gas.
Yeah, I'd just like to see. If he's not ready, he's not ready. Yeah. But I'd like to
see if he's not ready, though.
Yeah. I'd want to know. I mean, because that's the thing about a guy that has that kind of electric stuff. He needs to learn his command. He needs to learn how to pitch at that level. But 98 is still 98.
Yeah, let him learn to pitch at that level.
And a knee-buckling hook is still a knee. I mean, he's a really impressive talent. And I suspect that we will get at least a little bit of a look at him. Are you worried at any degree about the age of this club? Because it's not a young group
in
some places.
Right, and I think we've got enough young people in spots. You know, the Cardinal way has always been to, you know, don't panic, don't do anything brash, just continue to do what we do. So, you know, we don't overpay, we don't go out and shop too much. If anything, I'm worried that Yachty's catching too much right now. We've got to find a way to give him
a
break.
Pena's knee injury, that was not supposed to happen this year, but Pena's never been healthy, and so that caused an issue.
I don't know that Pena's the option we want behind the plate anyway sometimes. But
now, does my memory serve me correctly? Is your brother a Cubs fan?
Absolutely, he is. And I had to remind me the other night, of course, he runs his mouth a lot because they started so well. And I said, Jay, you realize that the Cardinals haven't even played well, and we've cut your lead down to 7 games. You know, well, I mean, I knew we were going to have a bad streak, and I said, "Did you think you were going to lose 9 out of 10 or whatever?"
This will be an interesting summer for the two of you.
It'll be. I'd like to at least see us I'd like to see us get it down to 2 or 3 games, and then see how they handle that.
Long have you had the upper hand in this situation?
Absolutely.
So he's probably eager to talk a little bit.
He has talked a lot, so it'll be interesting to see. And you know, like I said, I'd like for us to put some pressure on them, get it down to 2 or 3 games.
You know. And of course, I knew that you were a Cardinals fan, reminded of it yesterday, but I hadn't thought until yesterday about the two of you being on opposite sides there. Because when I think of the Stark brothers, I think of they're Louisville fans. They're together there.
And to be honest with you, that may be the only team we share in common is the Cardinals. Of course, you know, he coaches at Murray and my kids go to Callaway. He's a Cubs fan. I'm a Cardinals fan. So that may the Louisville bond may be the only thing that really holds us together as brothers.
House divided.
That's right. But that's a pretty strong bond.
That is a very strong bond. I know that, especially because you guys are galvanized by all these Kentucky folks.
Absolutely. Yeah.
One of the things that social media has given us as college fans is we see this window into recruiting all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see everything. You know, mm-hmm. you hear everything. How closely do you watch what Louisville's doing this time of year? Are you a recruiting guy?
Basketball, yes. Yeah. I think I've said this before. I may be the only American that's not a huge football fan. I love to watch high school football on Friday nights here in Western Kentucky. But as far as college and pro, it passes the time till basketball season starts. but I do watch college recruiting. I'll be honest with you. I've been more interested in Murray State's recruiting here lately than Louisville's.
It's been an active scene.
It's been an active scene to watch Lindy. And of course, Coach McMahon and those guys posting about who they're going to watch and who they're going to see and who's signed and who they're interested in. That's been a lot more of interest than Louisville's recruiting here of late.
And I tell you what, Murray State's footprint in recruiting has become enormous.
It has. To see the people tweeting about blessed to receive an offer from Murray State, and you look at who these kids are, and it's like we're recruiting that kind of player now.
Yeah, when you look at the list of offers that these kids have, I mean, it's an impressive group that Murray State joins.
When you see Murray State mentioned with names like Canton, you know, people out there saying, I got an offer from, and obviously this is, you know, Murray State's probably on the lower echelon there, but Kansas or, you know, being recruited by, you know, an upper level team. And then you see also Murray State at the end of that list. Sometimes it says MSU, and you're wondering, is that Michigan State or is that Murray State? Yep. You know, you don't know anymore.
Well, and I think, you know, of course, the program has had so much success, but the profile has continued to rise with Isaiah and Cameron in the NBA.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, and that really carries some heavy, heavy cachet with these kids. I mean, I think one of the ones that Lindy retweeted this morning, the kid had posted a picture, you know, when he announced Murray State had offered point guard you.
I was just about to say that same thing. You've never seen that before.
I mean, that's –
yeah, that's big time.
That is really big time.
Yeah, it's big time.
It's
and especially
cool.
And someone tweeted the other day, I've got a new reason to root for the Bulls since Michael retired. That's a huge signing for Isaiah.
Yep.
I mean, especially with as unhealthy as Rondo gets sometimes, he could be in a starting role there, you know, if Rondo slips up or does something stupid like he's prone to do.
Was kind of cool to me, too, the small world aspect of Fred Hoiberg, the
right.
former Iowa State coach, has got Steve Fromm's player now.
Right,
that was, you know, Steve tweeted that out. And that's and when you've got guys that are, you know, Cam's on TV playing in the summer league and people are tweeting constantly about what's going on with him and, you know, Isaiah's out there. I mean, that just does. It matters. And, you know, the folks here, Murray State's been Murray State and always will be. But when you can reach kids all over the country with, hey, we got guys in the pros, big deal.
Right.
Big weapon.
And give me your opinion on the Fred Hoiberg versus Rajon Rondo. Is Rondo is that killer coach?
Hey.
And then you've got Hoiberg, who's that hands-on guy who wants to be out there.
You know, Rondo has – I mean, he, you know, even in Boston, where he won a championship and became a fantastic point guard as creator and defender, you know, he wore out his welcome there. Of course, I know he and Tubby, you know, never – and I, of course – understanding Rondo's personality and the way Tubby did things, you know, not surprised that their year together at Kentucky didn't go well. But, I mean, he's just, you know, and the thing about it is people say about this guy that he is incredibly intelligent, enormous basketball IQ, tough guy, talented guy. Of course, he can't shoot a lick, but, I mean, he's found a way to be a very good player. But I think what's happened with him now is now you've got a guy that's really difficult who also doesn't accept that his physical limitations have gotten, you know, greater. He's not the kind of athlete. He's not a young guy anymore.
Right.
And so, yeah, I don't know, man.
Well, when he said the other day, this is Jimmy Butler's team, I made a note of that and said, I wonder how long that lasts.
Yeah, how long does that last? Well, and now if there's anything that helps that situation, and it will either help it or it will make it worse, but Dwayne Wade's presence, I think, maybe mitigates the bad Rondo influence. But we'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
He's got to come in there and assert himself as I may have only been here for less than a minute.
Hey,
but
Isaiah's going to learn a thing or two watching that scene.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. How not to be. Hopefully it's how to be, but, you know, you wonder about that.
What sort of expectations you got for Coach Pitino's squad in 16-17? How you feel?
Well, I would feel a lot better if they would release whether we're going to be able to play in the postseason or not. That still is yet to be released. I pray I use the word prayer loosely there, but I hope every single night that we get that encouraging word from the NCAA that banning ourselves last season in a season where we could have won a title as much as anybody else was good enough for them. But, you know, our team is – man, they're going to be – even without Anawaku, who I thought was very not smart to go pro – I think he's a second-round pick if he waits till next year. So, I mean, and I get why he went pro, but, you know, you take him away. But we've still got Mathiang. He's coming off that foot injury. It'll be interesting how he plays. The Egyptian has been rumored to have gained about 20 pounds this summer, so we'll see how that looks. And then our backcourt is as solid as it's ever been. Quinn's running the point. Dang Adele has gotten a lot better, they've said, in the offseason. We've got that graduate transfer coming in. He's supposed to be good. So it's going to be an interesting mix.
Well, hey, I'm telling you, and I know Rick Pitino is usually on most people's villains list around these parts, but the man, his ability to get it done with whatever he's got is second to none.
I think you'll see us be more defensive-minded again this year. Last year, I think Coach threw the defense. He didn't throw it out the window, but it took him almost to the what would have been the SEC tournament to get it clicking.
You know, he had guys that he had to play offensively weren't great on that end of the floor. No. And, of course, he didn't have a ton of depth that he could count on, so he maybe pulled pace back a little bit there. In terms of attacking style, but I mean, year in and year out, they're as hard to play against as anybody.
Yeah, and the ACC is ultra competitive. That's what I love. There's never a gimme game in the ACC for the most part.
By the way, the Lord knows you're a Cardinals fan. I mean, I think it's okay if you pray for postseason eligibility.
Well, I hope he
people
would understand.
Probably prayed for worse. I'm sure.
I'm sure you're right. But yeah, it's gonna be a great season. I saw the other day in the way too early bracketology, we were a 4 seed. So. That'll hunt. We'll see how that goes. I'd hope to be higher.
How's our folks out at the Murray Bank? What's going on this summer?
Folks at the Murray Bank are great. We are we're actually getting ready to do a promotion every year. We do a back to school matinee for the kids. Ran out of a theater at Cherie, and we just sold out of tickets for that. We've got some big events coming up as far as the Ice Cream Festival in September. Of course, the Crosstown Classic. It's amazing to me to think that's 5-6 weeks away.
That's unbelievable.
You know, dude. We drove by. Zach and I drove by. He went to, and this blows my mind, as someone who's not necessarily the most physical kid sometimes, he went to football camp a few weeks ago at Callaway, and he actually won Camper of the Week, and I looked at Mickey and said, My son? Are we sure about that, Mickey? And Mickey said, "Yeah, he was really, really good. So it's amazing to me to see, you know, that we're 5-6 weeks away from the Crosstown Classic.
All those guys are back at work, man.
Yeah, they were practicing last night and it started Monday. But Drake Starr, you know, they're doing that 7v7 camp here in a few. Is that next week?
I think – well, I don't know if – I think the one he was promoting is next week, but I think Murray Callaway play tonight maybe.
Do they?
In a 7-on-7 game.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, I knew the FCA one was next week. Yep. He was talking to us about that on the breakfast show Monday, but it's in full swing. So, yeah, the Murray Bank is once again involved in a lot of different things around Murray and Callaway County. We're happy to be involved. Always want to support our hometown and make sure that, you know, we're reinvesting in the future of where we intend to stay.
Always get a kick out of the makeup of so many of you guys that I know. And I think probably Callaway County has Murray outnumbered a little bit within the bank maybe. But, I mean, you've got a great representation within your own bank family of black and gold and the blue and red.
And those personalities always show their heads at different time of the year. it's always interesting especially during big games, basketball, football, soccer, baseball, who's rooting for who. I've always wanted to do, and we may do it this year on the Crosstown Classic on the Friday of that game, a wear your red or a wear your black and go to work day and actually see where people's loyalty lies there. So, but, you know, and I've said it when I took the job, you know, we are very blessed to have two great school systems here in Murray and Callaway County. And I know you say that all the time, too. And it's never more evident than today.
And Tim, it is so true. As a matter of fact, when my friend Dale McCallum, when Dale left here yesterday after we recorded our golf segment that aired this morning, we were just talking about some things and, you know, things that we know and hear from other communities, even in Western Kentucky. But, you know, the scope of the things that go on in this country, I mean, to be in a town that is as cozy and comfortable as ours is, to have a great university and two outstanding school districts, because you've got a Murray system that ranks among the top systems in the state in terms of rankings. Callaway County is one of the best county systems anywhere. They're two of the finest school systems you can find in the Commonwealth, and that's here for us in our hometown. That is quite a blessing.
Right, and people always say all the time, well, where do you send your kid? And I can honestly say we send him to Callaway. We send our children to Callaway because that's where we live. But we'd be just as happy to send them in, you know. So it's a blessing to live in this great town.
And a neat thing for us here as a sports show is the athletic departments and all the programs are so good. We've got a lot to be proud of, and
we're fortunate to be able to live and work here.
Yep.
And to be able to support what we do at the bank. And you know, when I joined on, that was one of the greatest things, was to be able to know that, you know, what we do as a bank not only supports me, but supports my children, supports this community, supports both school systems, supports any and everything that is Murray and Callaway County.
Local is good. I know that's one thing when you interact in social media, you remind people of that a lot.
Yeah, and sometimes we have a different definition of local than some other people here in town, but that's okay. You know, we're here to support Murray. We're here to support Callaway. Callaway County, and you won't ever hear us vary from that statement.
Before you go, one more time on your youth soccer signups.
Youth soccer signups at the American Legion Hall. That's on 4th Street, right across from the entrance into the soccer complex there on 4th Street. July 23rd, July 30th, from 10 to 2, they're at the American Legion Hall. You can sign up anytime online if you go to www.bcreek.org, and those signups will end on August 1st.
My friend, outstanding.
Thank you for inviting me on today.
We're gonna work with you on your schedule going forward. I know every week may not work for you always, but we're gonna look forward to bringing you back, and we'll be talking about this community and that great bank, the Murray Bank, but we'll also talk some ball.
That's what I like to do. I told you the other day I've been looking forward to this call for years.
All of a sudden, the Ville.
The Ville may have a
heavier radio presence.
Yeah, not as strong as Scooter on Tuesdays, but we'll be here.
One day we may have to arrange a Tim and Scooter show.
I don't know if I'm prepared for that or not. He has a lot more firepower than I do, I think.
He's got a few more
championships than I do to talk about.
Well, you can fight back. Who's got the latest?
Most recent championship in the state of Kentucky goes to the University of Louisville.
You've got your ground.
Let us keep it. you don't know about that.
Don't take away the trophy. You might say a prayer for that as well.
Every night, yes, sir.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.